Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Flags are at half-mast all over Washington, D.C. this week. This morning, Justice Antonin Scalia's body was carried up the steps of the Supreme Court past the eight sitting justices, and now Scalia lays in repose in the court's great hall, surrounded by marble busts of former chief justices. It's a solemn tradition that dates back to 1873. There's a funeral for Justice Scalia scheduled for Saturday in Washington. Antonin Scalia loved to be heard. In oral arguments and written opinions, he joked, he criticized, he judged. In our own remembrance today, The Takeaway asked legal experts and Scalia's colleagues to reflect on some of his best and his worst moments in 30 years on the high court. Here's Mark Graber, University of Maryland law professor and one of the leading scholars on constitutional law and politics in the country. He was struck by Scalia's written opinions on the war on terror and on gay marriage.
Best opinion is probably Hamdi versus Rumsfeld, the case dealing with the detention of an American citizen, where both Scalia and Justice Stevens pointed out that the government had two choices, treason or suspend habeas corpus. It was a nice opinion. It made very clear what the constitutional rules were. I think it was creative. It was something very few people saw, but when you read it, it was rather convincing. Worst opinion, for a liberal there are many, but I'll go with Obergefell. In the last years on the bench, Scalia increasingly turned to insult rather than argument. Obergefell has a great many insults, but it really does not engage with Justice Kennedy's arguments. There are weaknesses in the argument, but Scalia preferred to write for the 5 o'clock news rather than engage in a way that lawyers might appreciate.
Justice Scalia, in a blistering dissent, was not buying
Justice
it.
Justice Antonin Scalia, furious in his dissent on the losing side again.
And again, he really hammers his dissent.
It's hard to pick a single best opinion, but I'm going to go with Justice Scalia's dissent in Morrison against Olson.
Lee Lieberman Otis clerked for Antonin Scalia after his appointment to the Supreme Court and is now the senior vice president of the Conservative Federalist Society. She chose a case from 1988, one that led to the appointment of Kenneth Starr to investigate President Bill Clinton a decade later.
At the time, it looked like a big loss for the separation of powers, but over time, I think it came to be accepted as correct by people across the political spectrum and played a significant role in Congress's decision not to reauthorize the independent counsel statute. The opening of that opinion, which begins, "This case is about power," and then goes on to say that cases like this often come as very small initial intrusions, coming as it were as a wolf in sheep's clothing. But then he goes on to say, in one of the best lines in his usual opinion, I think, "But this wolf comes as a wolf."
Among the best, Scalia's dissenting opinion in the 2000 case Dickerson versus the United States, which declined to allow Congress to overrule the court's famous Miranda decision.
Marianne Franks is a professor of law at the University of Miami. Scalia was at his best, she says, when ruling on defendants' rights, and at his worst, on protection from domestic violence.
However one feels about the importance or necessity of Miranda rights, the argument that they are required by the Constitution is shaky at best. Scalia ruthlessly pointed out how no less an authority than Chief Justice Rehnquist, the author of the majority opinion, had himself previously stated that Miranda rights were not constitutionally required. Among the worst, Scalia's majority opinion in the 2005 case Castle Rock v. Gonzalez, which shows the deeply unprincipled side of his much-celebrated textualism. Jessica Gonzalez argued that her local police department violated her constitutional rights by failing to enforce the plain terms of the protective order she had against her estranged husband. The police ignored her repeated pleas for help after her husband abducted the couple's three children, who were later found dead in his truck. Scalia maintained that the word "shall arrest" in the protective order did not in fact mean "shall arrest." The police were not obligated to act. This opinion was devastating for domestic violence victims, as it meant that protection orders, one of the only forms of legal protection victims have against abusers, were quite literally not worth the paper they were printed on.
Much of the court's opinion is devoted to deprecating the closed-mindedness of our forebears with regard to women's education, and indeed with regard to the treatment of women in areas that have nothing to do with education. Closed-minded they were.
The court ruled in 1996 on the No Women policy at the Citadel Military Academy in Virginia, and in 1990 on religious freedom. Here's Michael McConnell, former circuit judge at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit.
So to counterbalance the court's criticism of our ancestors, let me say a word in their praise. They left us free to change. The same cannot be said of this most illiberal court, which has embarked on a course of inscribing one after another of the current preferences of the society, and in some cases only the counter-majoritarian preferences of the society's law-trained elite, into our basic law. So if that's my favorite, my least favorite Scalia opinion is Employment Division versus Smith, the peyote case. It pays very little attention to the text of the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment, and absolutely no attention to its history, and plays fast and loose with the precedent. But that only goes to show that Justice Scalia had clear understandings of how to interpret the Constitution that we can hold up and say on some occasions we disagree with how he applied them. That's certainly better than justices who have no clear approach to begin with, other than to tell us the result that they want to see. Justices who just have a result they want to see are never wrong by their own opinions. So to be able to say that Justice Scalia got one wrong by his own lights is actually quite a compliment.
Antonin Scalia was always ready to be judged on the quality of his legal opinion, so we thank the legal minds who offered their thoughts on his legal legacy. Later this hour, we'll remember a different version of Justice Scalia with a man who studied him up close and personal. Actor Edward Giro played Antonin Scalia in The Originalist, a play that was staged in Washington, D.C. last year.
Yes, it was a dream because it combined my love of our experiment of democracy and my job as an actor to bring someone of that stature to life.
Actor Ed Giro remembers Justice Antonin Scalia. That's later this hour on The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Staples, offering tech services for small business owners like PC setup and repair. More at staples.com/tech services. Staples, make more happen.
The Henry Luce Foundation, for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway's resilience reporting is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation. For more, go to rockfound.org.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.